Hello there, you are warmly welcomed to the Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's weekly golf show with Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We're going to look ahead to one great tournament this week, the Honda Classic, and we're also going to look back on what was an epic tournament for Steve last week. I mean, absolutely superb tipping, Steve, in the Genesis Invitational. Last week, Steve put up five tips. He had the winner, Joachim Niemann, and he had two full places as well. Absolutely superb work, Steve. You must be cock-a-hoop, aren't you?
I am cock-a-hoop, Bruce. Yeah. I loved having only one tournament because you can sort of cleanse your mind during the day and then come out strong in the evening. So, yeah, really sort of stress-free week thanks to Joachim Niemann, wasn't it? Because he opened with two.
He made all, didn't he?
He made all. I love having stress-free weeks. They're so rare, but he's an 11-10 chance at the halfway stage. We had a couple of moments of concern in the final round. I mean, I was drifting off into a lovely sort of mellow, happy sleep after the 14th hole. I thought, oh, this is over. I'll just enjoy it now. And then on the 15th hole, Cameron Young pitched in, didn't he, for that shot birdie. And I sort of bolted upright and two-shot swing. And suddenly it was all back on again. So that was the one moment I got a bit twitchy. And the whole 72 holes was on that 15th. But then fortunately, Cameron Young dumped it in the bunker on the 16th and all the pressure drifted off again. So, yeah, delighted for us, delighted for Joachim. You know, he's a lovely lad, isn't he?
He seems very nice. Yeah, some nice shots of his family there waiting for him on the 18th, weren't they?
That's it, yeah. All his friends were waiting for him, and all the South American players, literally sort of every South American player was there. We were on Joachim Niemann for last year's Genesis. We actually tipped him for the previous Genesis for an even bigger price, and I'll tap into your little memory box here. Sorry, I don't want to besmirch you calling it little.
I won't remember it.
Interesting stat that I think might stir something in you, because we were on Joachim Niemann for the Rocket Mortgage Classic last summer, and he went 72 holes without a bogey, without dropping a shot, and then he got into a playoff, and then he bogeyed the first hole of the playoff. Anything there? I thought that was such a jaw-dropping stat. It might still be in there, but
no,
So we've had, you know, finally got a bit of luck back in Joachim Niemann, and he's one of many talented players on the PGA Tour. I think he's a potential major champion.
He's only a kid, isn't he? What's he, 23?
23 years of age.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I was going to say that the red hot Chilean peppered the flags all week, didn't he, and got his due rewards. I should have got that pathetic week joke away earlier. One thing I would say, Steve, is that to make all like that in golf, particularly with such a stellar field, I mean, that's one of the strongest non-majors fields you'll ever see. That takes a lot of doing, doesn't it? I mean, because you know, every night for basically 72 hours, you're leading that tournament, aren't you? So to hold on like that so comfortably, not only does it show that he's got, you know, cojones, but he's also going to get even more confidence from that now. I mean, he's absolutely bomb-proof, isn't he?
I agree. Yeah. He impressed himself, I think. You know, he's gone out there on the Friday morning, three shots ahead, forged on. You know, that was the one that shocked everyone, I think. You know, I was so pleased to see him push on from that opening 63, another 63. And then, you're right. Yeah, you do sort of comparisons to a horsey race, don't you? You have a horsey that goes that far ahead. You tend to get a bit worried, don't you? Because, things go wrong with horses. But, I was delighted.
Sounds like you weren't remotely worried at any point.
Just the 15th hole. Just the 15th hole when Cameron Young pitched in, because it got a little bit wobbly there. But, if Cameron Young had hit a good shot on 16, we could have had problems. But thankfully, all the pressure just went again. And, we could relax.
I mean, basically, it was like you spent the whole week in a lovely country beer garden and there was not a cloud in the sky and you're enjoying it. But there was one little wasp flying around, wasn't there, in the form of Cameron Young? Who looks a bit like there's a touch of a sort of disheveled Graham McDowell about him, isn't there? But anyway, he played really well, didn't he? I don't know much about Cameron Young. Tell me about him, because he really did himself proud last week, didn't he?
He did. And he banked a huge check. I mean, it's not often the loser banks a check for $1 million. You know, he got $1 million for the runner-up effort last week. You know, Cameron Young's been on our radar. He was our PGA Tour player to follow this year. So hopefully a few people might have been on each way. It was a big price last week, 225-1. Two-time Korn Ferry Tour champion last summer. He was second to Sam Burns in that Sanderson Farms Championship last October. Yeah, bundles of ability. Very tight unit around him. His dad is his coach, a bit like Justin Thomas, who has his dad. His dad is a PGA Tour professional and is his coach. His best mate is his caddy. He was best man at his caddy's wedding. They're a really tight unit. You could see him giving it all the all the fist pumps and chest pumps and that. I like the cut of Cameron Young's jib, and I think there's a maturity about him. I mean, you say he looks like Graham McDowell. Yeah, I mean, he doesn't look like a 25-year-old, does he?
No, he doesn't. No,
I think he's an old 25-year-old. I mean, he's married, he's got a kid. You know, maybe that's aged him a bit. But yeah, I think Cameron Young will win soon, and he may well win this week. Actually, he's not one of our tips, but he's one that we fear.
Okay, well, we'll come to that. Did you have any celebratory tinctures, Steve?
It was a bit late for that, wasn't it? Yeah, it was another sort of midnight finish. I'm glad the West Coast events have gone now, because they weren't testing my stamina. But yeah, I had a few tinctures last night, actually, at the snooker hall.
I had a
game
of snooker, did you?
Yeah, I had a bit of snooker last night.
What was your highest break?
16.
16's good, isn't it? If you get six, that requires four balls to be potted. That's a good effort, I think.
Yeah, I think it was 16. No, I had a few tinctures last night. I'm going to have a few tinctures tonight. I'm going to have a few tinctures on Wednesday. So a slightly delayed celebration. But yeah, we've got to celebrate these moments. They're joyous. And I started the year talking about how confident I was this year. I do still feel confident. I feel really confident about the future. I already think I know who's going to win the 2023 Genesis Invitational.
Are they betting on that yet?
Well, I just think Colin Morikawa is absolutely made for Riviera Country Club. I don't think, you know, he started the week 20-1 last week. I think he'd be half that price next year. Obviously form dependent, but yeah, you don't see him stepping off the gas. I mean, yeah, Colin Morikawa, very interesting pre-tournament comments last week. I don't know if you watched his media conference. He actually revealed that he had COVID at the end of last year, after Christmas. So if you look at the gap between the time he had COVID and the Century Tournament Champions, it just explained his sort of sluggish start to the year. He admitted it drained him. He couldn't practice. So he's made a slightly disappointing start to the year. Got over it, felt sharper the last couple of weeks, and then a great performance last week. Yeah, the home crowd willing him on. I think the Los Angeles man will win the Genesis at some stage, possibly next year.
Okay, excellent. And I believe we had some lovely I know we had some lovely comments, but you checked them out today, and there was one particular comment on the YouTube from last week where some fellas basically had a sort of life-changing run of success, hasn't he?
I love the comment section. I love the sort of camaraderie we have there. You know, we're all in this together. And I just had a little chat before we came on. And I'd love to mention all of them, but I can't. But the last one, the most recent one, Michael Crowley. Yeah, he changed his life. He used to spend his weekends cleaning the house and, didn't really enjoy his weekends. That's the vibe I'm getting out. Michael and his lady, Corrine, have been following the sweet spot since December 2021, got off to a flyer with Tristan the Piston Lawrence, lots of each way returns, and then back-to-back winners the last couple of weeks. And now they've hired a cleaner. Their weekends, they just send the cleaner in to do what they used to do, and now they'd go off and enjoy themselves. So, yes, delighted for Michael and Corrine.
That's excellent, isn't it? Yeah, literally, they've cleaned up. So they used to spend all weekend doing the house from top to bottom, and now they've got someone in a tabard to do it all for them. That's brilliant, isn't it? I think I am going to sound a note of caution here to you know, I mean, I don't know what notice period the cleaner's on, but we do need to always exercise caution. I mean, it's lovely that Steve's had those back-to-back winners, and I know from the comments that a lot of you have backed them as well, and that's absolutely brilliant. But, you know, I think a punch is at their most vulnerable when they're winning. So just always remember that a bad run's only just around the corner, and keep your stakes sensible. That's the key, isn't it, Steve? But enjoy it. I don't want to take the mood down.
No. I mean, punters have different levels of staking, don't they? I don't know what Michael's been doing, but he says he's got 2 years of staking in the bank now. He says he's safe for 2 years now. So the cleaner's definitely going to survive two years.
That's good.
I'm sure the cleaner's happy. I'm sure everyone's happy. No, things are good. And we must also, before we move on, I must mention Victor Hovland, because I know he only finished fourth last week, but I was really impressed again with Victor Hovland's just general vibe. I mean, he had two rounds where he wasn't out of second gear, the first round and the fourth round. I'm utterly convinced now that Victor Hovland will become world number one this year. Oh. I think his golf game is as good as John Rahm's, but I think his temperament is superior to John Rahm's. We've spoken about how John Rahm gets, angry, feisty, easily ruffled. You got Hovland, is just the most measured 24-year-old on the planet, isn't he? He's just got such a way about him. And I think Victor Hovland would be a massive success in any job he turned his mind to. Golf's lucky to have him. I think Hovland's just going to win everything. And as I say, I think he's going to be world number one this year.
God, your crystal ball's had a good polish, hasn't it? You're seeing right into the future. Excellent.
Yeah. I do feel like I can see everything clearly.
Good. That's great to hear. Any other thoughts on any players from last week? Anyone else catch your eye?
We must mention the chef. I mean, obviously, Wacom Neiman took over as our new hero. Yeah, we're not going to forget the chef. And the chef is up to world number 6 now. He tied 7th at Riviera. The chef has certainly got a few Michelin stars on his shirt now.
That's Scotty Scheffler, in case you were getting confused with the chauffe, which is Xander Schauffele.
Oh, yes, of course.
Schauffele's become a bit of a sort of, an elite journeyman, I suppose, isn't he? Just kind of, he's doing a bit of a kind of Charles Howell III, just, on the periphery of the leaderboards every week, but nothing doing.
Well, the chef is ahead of the chef in the world rankings now. I mean, it's amazing to say that. But, the chef has just got this issue, hasn't he? He needs to get a PGA Tour win. Yeah, we're desperate for him to get one for the US Open to keep our...
Is he on the fourth?
The majors after alive. Yeah, he's running out of time. But I hope he enters a really low-grade event at some point, gets the monkey off his back. We don't want him going into the US Open with a monkey on his back, do we?
No, we don't.
But, I think we've got to mention the chef. And then Maverick McNealy play well again. We won't forget Maverick McNealy. I think he'll win soon. Cameron Young will win soon. I think we've mentioned everyone. And I must mention Will Zalatoris and just say, oh, God, I wish you had won that Farmers, because obviously if he'd won that Farmers, we would have been a hell of a roll. Higher stakes for this one. Blah, 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 blah. But, yeah.
Stop it. That's just a ridiculous way to think. That's my only big winners. You're in great form. Stop worrying about the one that got away. That's mad.
You're right.
Honestly, I'm not going fishing with you. You'd catch a massive, great whopping trout. You go, oh, God, do you remember that? That what else did I have? A tench that I caught a couple of weeks ago and it just slipped off the line. I don't know. I've only been fishing once. Do you fish much?
I went fishing. I've been fishing twice. I went once with Bushy, good old Bushy, rest in peace. We caught was crabs. Just no fish at all. And then another time was on a fishing boat where there was some sort of malfunction going on with the device. We were on this boat with what was his name? It was one of my mate's dads, and he was very, very focused, and he had a range finder, a fish finder.
I didn't know there was such a thing as a fish finder.
There's a fish finder technology where if you're on a boat, it'll make noises and show you where all the fish are.
Wow. And, was this out to sea or on a river?
This was on a boat out to sea, yeah. And it must have been malfunctioning because he's just watching the fish finder shouting to us, going, all depths, all depths, all depths.
What was he shouting?
All depths, all depths. So he's saying there's fish at all depths there. You can't fail to catch a fish at that point. All depths, all depths. And nothing was coming out. And we were just going, no, the fish finder's malfunctioning. But yeah,
oh,
I don't,
my goodness.
Don't do much fishing.
I like the idea of a tranquil day on a pretty riverbank. I like the idea of that. But just handling those, like the bait box always looks a bit sort of, I don't know, sinister. You've got all these maggots sort of thrashing around, haven't you? And all these really weird boilies and, floats and all sorts of things.
Live maggots. Yeah. Live maggots have to go on. And then obviously when you've got the job done, you've still got issues because what are you going to do with that fish? Yeah, if you're going to eat it, you've got to whack it over the head, chop its head off, top and tail it like a carrot.
And then you've got that sort of really weird fishing picture, haven't you, where you're like this and you're smiling like a kid and your mate's taking a picture of you. I always find them a bit odd, those fishing pictures. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Did you throw them back in there? Just quickly, I got one. Yeah, just, you've got me started. Did you throw them back in?
I don't think you throw them because you could damage their fins, but you kind of, do you ever watch that lovely program with Bob Mortimer and the fellow from the Fast Show?
It's really
lovely. It's one of my favourite TV programmes, Paul Whitehouse. And they just gently put the fish back and hold it underneath for about 20 seconds to get their gills working again. And then you just see it, you're swimming away. Love it.
Haven't you already mutilated their mouth, though?
I don't think so. I think they say that they've got quite a kind of hardy cheek on them, a fish.
Have
so,
they? Because you know, I worry about that. They send them back, but they can't eat anything, and then they die of starvation because they can't get anything in their mouth.
Or the water sort of comes in through the sides because you've created that hole. I always thought that might be a possibility, but... Doesn't seem to happen. Should we talk golf?
We better, Adam, we? I think that's what people are here for.
Absolutely. The PGA Tour goes from the West Coast to the East. We're down in Florida for the Honda Classic this week. Let's have a look at the market, and then we'll see who Steve fancies as he bids for the hat trick. You will tell from looking at this that the stars have gone away. Sun Jae-im, who never goes away, plays every single week. He's 12 to 1 Fav. And then you've got Daniel Berger at 16s, Brooks Koepka at 20, Billy Horschel at 20, Louis Oosthuizen at 20, Joachim Niemann 20, Fleetwood's 28, and it's 33 bars. So it's kind of very much a tier two event. We haven't got any of those real big guns, although one could argue that Joachim Niemann is now an official big gun. But anyway, that's what we've got this week. Interesting tournament. Tell us all about the course, Steve. Where are we?
We are at the Champion Course at PGA National, Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. A lovely part of the world. You know, you've got to be very rich to live in Palm Beach Gardens. 7,125 yards, par 70, only two par fives, and really difficult. You know, Riviera played easier than we expected last week. The rough was not as bad as it usually is. I think PGA National will play as tough as it normally does because it's not about the rough at PGA National. It's about the water hazards. Yeah, you know, the water hazards destroy scorecards at PGA National. You've got the infamous bear trap. You must remember the bear trap. 15th, 16th, 17th. If you get through there in one over par, you're doing all right. It's a really tough stretch. This is a stiff tee to green test. Decent weather forecast, but anything double digits under par has a great chance of winning this.
Oh, excellent. How many tips?
We got five selections, similar odds package to last week's. Obviously hoping for a similar result.
Okay, an odds package. Right then, let's fire away. Who's your main selection?
Number one selection is Billy Horschel at 22 to 1, who we mentioned last week, actually, in response to Frankie Burton's question about putting. Do you remember that? Good old Frankie Burton.
Who was benefiting from not having the greens books?
That's exactly right. Good old Frankie Burton was on. We decided that Billy Horschel might be the one that's benefiting from the ban on green books. He's second in the putting statistics for this season. You know, maybe putting instinctively suits him. And he's been really sharp around the greens as well. And I think that short game improvement will deliver the trophy on Sunday. Never really had any worries about Horschel from tee to green. You know, always been a rock solid ball striker. FedEx Cup champion in 2014, five PGA Tour titles, won the WGC match play last year, won the BMW PGA Championship at Wentworth in September. This week, finally gets his first win in his home state of Florida. I've got a bit of a tickle there. I'm going to have a drink. Did you had a smirk on, which usually suggests you've got something to say. So I'm going to have a drink.
I was enjoying hearing the birds tweeting in the background. It's a sort of sign that spring's back because you have quite a vibrant bird population outside the shed, don't you? So
yeah,
it was lovely
yeah.
to hear them chirping away while you were making the case for Billy Horschel.
I'm glad you can hear them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We're all delighted spring sprung, isn't it?
Yeah.
These are great times. Let's just ride this wave. Billy Horschel, born in Florida. He's never left, but he's obviously left a few times. He's a University of Florida star. He's come close to lifting trophies in the Sunshine State. He was second in the WGC at the concession a year ago. Colin Morikawa beat him there. And in the Honda Classic, he's finished eighth in 2016, fourth in 2017. In his current mood, I think he's going to contend. He's had his last two starts, 11th place in the Farmers, despite some neck and shoulder pain on tournament eve. He had a week off to recover from all that. It was only a minor injury. Week off to recover, then returned for sixth place in the Phoenix Open. Only one player outscored the horse in the final round of the Phoenix Open. PGA National, perfect layout for him. Let's all jump aboard the horse.
And he'll appreciate the colour of your top there, Steve, won't he? The claret, because he's obviously a massive West Ham fan, isn't he?
He is a massive West Ham fan. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's one of our favourites, isn't he? Win or lose, we're still going to love the horse.
You know, absolutely.
We love horses and we love golfers. You like football.
Excellent.
Can I get you to do that? I'm desperate to.
No. What's that to your left, that Perspex thing? That's not normally in shot.
Oh, is it not normally in shot? Is it
a boxing glove?
Producer Will must have messed with the framing, but yeah, that is Mike Tyson's boxing glove. Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. Thing that you bought drunken at some sporting a darts night or something.
Phil Taylor's exhibition at Weymouth Pavilion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I paid about £1 million for that. Perhaps I can't even remember how much I paid for it. But yeah, Mike Tyson's body. You can actually get a better view of that in the clip thing Jack Reed made me do yesterday. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
He made me talk about sort of promote the weekend.
No, I haven't seen that. Sorry.
Yeah, you get a better view there. Michael Gerard Tyson. Did you know Mike Tyson's middle name is Gerard?
Didn't know that. No, that's interesting. Cool. Excellent. Sorry, yeah. Right then. So we're hoping that Billy Horschel provides the knockout blow this week. Who's the main danger, do you think, Steve?
Like it. Next best. I can't get away from him, I'm afraid. I don't like tipping the favourite, but we've got to have him in our staking plan. It's Sung Jae Im. Different gravy to most of this field. You mentioned how weak this field is. You know, Sung Jae Im is a massive fish in a small pond this week. Same age as Wakam Neiman. They both made their President's Cup debut in the 2019 at Royal Melbourne. There may be some inspiration that comes from that, seeing his President's Cup pal impressing so much last week. I think Im is the better player. I think he'll go on to achieve more in the game. Yeah, he won 3 more points than Neiman in that President's Cup. Im has finished runner-up in the Masters. I think they've both got big futures, but Im's the better player. This year, Im was 11th in the American Express. He was 6th in the Farmers Insurance Open. Only 4 players outscored him in the Genesis final round on Sunday. A closing 67, sharpened him up nicely for the Florida swing, which he absolutely loves. Sung Jae Im, yeah, his facial expression doesn't change much, but when he gets to the Florida swing, he's got more likely to smile than at normal times. His maiden PGA Tour victory came in this event, 2020 Honda Classic. He's twice finished 3rd in the Arnold Palmer at Bay Hill. He's finished 4th in the Valspar. He was 8th on his Honda title defence last year. So, yeah, I'll be shocked if Sung Jae Im's not on the leaderboard throughout. We have to go with him. Perhaps a win-only investment in Sung Jae.
So maybe the advice would be that, you know, whatever else you back in the tournament, back Sung Jae Im so that if he wins, you don't lose. That's it, isn't it? Really, he's there as a safety net, really, I suppose.
He's there as a safety net or as an aggressive win bet. You know,
fine.
For me, I'm in a win only bet and going in reasonably strong on him. Yeah, Horschel and him are the two biggest bets this week.
Does he still have the scepter of national service hanging over him, Steve?
Yeah, I think so, unless the policy changes. I guess they just delay it as much as they can, hoping that they'll get a sort of progressive leader in who's going to say, oh, come on, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I think they've also got COVID. Their career, South Korea is rather like New Zealand. They're very, very protective of COVID, and so perhaps they've suspended military action. Who knows?
He's got to make hay while the sun shines. Yeah, if he wins a FedEx Cup in a major, he can go off and say, I'll be a soldier for the rest of my life, can't he?
I'm all for suspending military action at these troubled times, aren't you, Steve? I'll take the gloss off it, but
don't get me started. No, I don't. I try not to bring the mood down this week.
Yeah, no, let's not
normally manage it, but yeah.
Okay, right. So we've got Billy Horschel, we've got Sung Jae Im, and we've got
Alexander Noren at 33-1, prolific winner on the European Tour. 10 times he has triumphed on his home circuit. Never won on the PGA Tour, but really unlucky in the 2018 Farmers Insurance Open. I think this is in your noggin, Bruce. He had JB Holmes playing alongside him in the final round. Holmes took an absolute age to hit his shot on that 72nd hole.
Yes, of course. Yeah, that did my head in that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we were furious. You know, yeah. Alexander Noren standing in the centre of the 18th fairway, 230 yards to the pin. If he finds the green and 2 putts, he's the champion. But he's just staring at JB Holmes, who just refused to hit a shot. And Holmes eventually lays up. And then Noren gets his chance, misses the green, makes par, loses a playoff to Jason Day. You had to feel for Alexander Noren. He turns 40 in July as a PGA Tour maiden, and it's his prime ambition to shed this maiden tag. I think it could happen this week. His last European Tour victory came at Le Golf National. Tough track, full of water hazards, much like PGA National, really dangerous down the stretch. His only Ryder Cup appearance came at Le Golf National. 2018, scored 2 points from 3 matches, beat Bryson DeChambeau in the singles. You know, PGA National is his sort of course. And he lives up the road. He lives 20-minute drive up the road in Jupiter. He finished 3rd in the 2018 Honda Classic. He finished 6th in the Phoenix Open the week before last. You can't ignore Noren.
When you picked your Ryder Cup team last week, did you have Noren in it?
No, I didn't. I may need to revise that if he wins this week. But lovely course fit. And I'd be lovely to see. He's one of the good guys. I like Alexander Noren.
Yeah, he seems a nice fella, doesn't he? Yeah, he does seem a good guy. Okay, right. 3 down, 2 to go.
Keith Mitchell. Similar price to Noren. I've got 3 former champions in my staking plan this week. Mitchell was a courageous Honda champion in 2019. He repelled Brooks Koepka and Ricky Fowler. That was when Ricky Fowler was, you know, a threat, and he won by 1 shot. Mitchell has also played well in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Sixth in 2019, fifth in 2020. Loves putting on Bermuda grass greens. And his recent form, you know, seriously eye-catching. In October, he set the early pace in the CJ Cup. High-class affair. Only two players beat him in the CJ Cup. Rory McIlroy, Colin Morikawa. This year, 7th in the Sony Open, 12th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, 10th in the Phoenix Open. Mitchell is playing great. I think he's got impeccable credentials, apart from the fact that he wears a visor. If he comes out wearing a cap, then he can't lose.
I think you should keep records, actually, of players who get placed in win tournaments wearing visors or hats.
Do that on my... Yeah, well, players who win with visors, there's not many of them. I mean, I don't know.
I wonder who the last player to win a tour event was without any kind of headgear.
Robert Rock.
Has he won anything, Robert Rock?
Yeah, he's won things. Yeah. I think it was probably Robert Rock who didn't like...
He has lovely thick hair, Robert Rock, doesn't he? So he probably... Because they say that if you wear a cap all the time, it accelerates baldness, I think. So perhaps Robert Rock thinks, well, I've got this lovely thick head of hair, so I don't need to, I don't need to augment it in terms of keeping the shade on.
I think you're right. I don't think you want to damage his hair. He loved his hair. You know, he likes being a good-looking lad, doesn't he, Robert Rock? I remember Darren Clark, this is ages ago and back in my Twitter days, Darren Clark was sort of teasing Robert Rock about his hair on Twitter while I was involved in the banter. And I think the players sort of take the mick out of Robert Rock for like the fact he's so in love with how he looks, you know.
You've had hair banter with Robert Rock. That's brilliant. I'm impressed.
Well,
with that.
it was more Darren Clark sort of jibing at him. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, how did we get onto this? Oh, yeah, the visors. Yeah. Sometimes we go off on one, and I don't really know why we're there. But, Keith Mitchell, he's got a visor on, but he likes visors. We'll just have to let that go. He's got a great chance of winning this Honda Classic.
Okay. Right, and the fifth selection is... Oh, I need to spin this out a bit because you've taken a swig of your water. Have you had a Diet Coke since you had that moment when you...
No,
I'm... Give up? You literally haven't had one?
I haven't had one Diet Coke this year, which is fantastic. I mean... Yeah, a lot of people they give up things in January. That was the one I did. I couldn't give up the beer. I don't want to give up the beer. I think the beer can perform a good service to certain people. But I don't think the
Diet
Coke... You
can't beat water, though, can you?
I don't think the Diet Coke serves a purpose now. That's the conclusion I've come to. I think it was a sort of a placebo effect that I thought they were helping me, but they weren't.
No, I just shouldn't think they were. And look at the winners you're tipping now that you're off them as well.
Yeah, that's the answer. Yeah.
Absolutely. Right, then who's the fifth selection?
Last one, 50-1, Matt Jones, the defending champion. I've actually got the last three Honda Classic winners on my team this week. And Jones didn't just win last year, obliterated the field, 5-shot romp. And we've seen that the Jones A game is exceptionally good. At the start of this year, you might remember this. No, I don't think you stayed up for the Hawaii.
No.
Well, it was just incredible numbers, but I think it was in Hawaii and you didn't bother with the Hawaii.
No, I never bothered with Hawaii. No,
Matt Jones, bear in mind, he's playing a par 73 golf course. His weekend rounds were 62 and 61.
It still makes me chuckle.
I'll be chuckling about this to the day I die.
123 shots. How about that?
23 under par for his closing 36 holes. He's not done much since, but then last week, 15th place in the Genesis, really encouraging. Closed with a 68. It's his ball really well. Cold putter. I think Jones is going to go well. And the victory last year was not a flash in the pan. He likes this course. He was fourth on his Honda Classic debut in 2008 when he was ranked outside of the world's top 200. So he's a two-time PGA Tour champion. He's a two-time Australian Open champion. I think lots of players will struggle to keep up with the Jones this week.
Oh, very good. And you've picked two of the, that is excellent. You've picked two of the most normally named golfers on tour, because obviously the US Tour is renowned for having very exotic names, isn't it? And you've gone with Keith Mitchell and Matt Jones. They could be two blokes you went to school with, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could have been. And I wish I did go to school with them, because they might have got me some tickets for the Honda Classic this week.
I suppose we've got some newcomers as well, haven't we? Will there be some unfamiliar names with all the odd... Corn Ferry Tour graduates?
Good spot. Yeah, because the field is so weak, all the Corn Ferry boys are getting. You will have some unfamiliar names. I mean, it's a competitive heat. This there's some other players we really must discuss. It's not like I got five and then it's just like all in.
Discuss away.
I think they're the five strongest bets, and I'm very very hopeful we'll have a few in contention on Sunday. But there are others we have to fear. Yeah, Mito Pereira deserves a mention. Mito Pereira, you know, can we get back-to-back Chilean winners on the PGA Tour? I certainly wouldn't be surprised. I mean, Pereira's won three times on the Corn Ferry Tour, really solid long game, and he was 15th in the Genesis on Sunday. It's his Honda debut, but I think he can make an impact. Brooks Koepka, you know, class act in a weak field. He lives nearby. He's gone close in the Honda before. I was just put off by his driving recently. He's been a bit erratic with the driver. Missed the cut last week. If he tightens up his driving before the Honda, we got big problems there with Brooks Koepka. And then the other one, yeah, the aforementioned Cameron Young, he'll have his tail up. I mean, I don't see how he can leave that event disappointed, you know.
No, he'd be delighted. A million bucks in his bin. Played well.
PGA Tour future assured. And he won a big junior event at PGA National. So it's his Honda Classic debut, but he's proven on the track from his junior days.
Wow. I see Ricky Fowler's 75-1, Steve. I mean, does that do anything for you? I know that he's obviously not the Ricky Fowler of old, but there have been some little flashes of the old self, haven't there?
Yeah, we have been waiting for the chance to bat Ricky Fowler. I think he will get his act together at some point this year, but this is such a difficult golf course. I can't trust him on this one. You're one loose shot away from disaster in this tournament, and he's had lots of loose shots in him, and I'm sorry, I can't get him involved.
Okay, and you focused on the top of the market this week, haven't you? There's none of the long shots jumped out and hit you. Is this a consequence of you being informed? Do you kind of want to keep the winners going? Does it change how you feel, or do you go into each tournament with a blank sheet of paper? I'm not besmirching you, I'm just asking.
No. I go through every single player in the field. As you know, it's a long, laborious process. I've gone through it. Yeah, I'd love to come in here with 500-1 shots and be all excited about the bottom of the market, but I just can't justify it. There's not enough there. So I've gone with the fiver, I think, most likely to be involved in the finish. And it's a viable staking plan. You don't have to do them all each way. I think Sungjae win only in the others each way to make it a bit cheaper. I'm sorry there's no fancy prices. There will be soon.
Honestly, any double figure price is a fancy price to me, and I'm sure to a lot of people. So that's fine. That's
well, we often talk about the horses, don't we? If you had a horsey staking plan with those prices and you say you've got no chance.
A very good point. Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, if Paul Keighley put that up, you know, I'm not joking you, right? He would, Paul Keighley would be laughed out of town for a staking play like that.
Well, yeah, exactly. So that's good. Okay, let's reiterate the five tips, shall we, Steve?
We should. Billy Horschel, Sungjae Im, Alex Noren, Keith Mitchell, Matt Jones.
Lovely stuff. Excellent. Well, it's just been great to have a nice upbeat show, hasn't it? You can tell you're just buzzing and enjoying life. Are you going to treat the lovely Nicola to anything special with all your winnings?
I always treat the lovely Nicola to special things. I am feeling upbeat. I'm not going to bring the mood down. I mean, there's been a lovely sequence of winners because the Chef won, and then Weymouth beat Eastleigh to revive staying up hopes. Neiman won, and then tonight Weymouth play Bromley. Play Bromley tonight.
Oh, that's my local non-league team, that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Weymouth are going to beat Bromley tonight?
Where is it?
At the Terrace. Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be there singing David Oldfield's name to the rafters. Yeah, we love David Oldfield.
I'm actually pretty down on Weymouth at the moment, mate. I hope you get beat.
Why?
Because our US sports editor, Andrew Wilshire, at the start of the season told me to back Timbonga for the National League Golden Boot. He's 9 goals clear. They go and play Weymouth last week, and one of your players breaks his leg and he's out for the season. So
I did it. I think a bit harsh. It was a legitimate tackle.
And it happened.
Yeah. And he was crestfallen, the fella that did it. I can't remember who did it. It's almost like affected him. He's almost like crying for 10 minutes. He's as heartbroken as you are.
He went on to score the last minute equaliser. They didn't stop him.
He's a strong boy. These things happen.
But anyway,
he might still win that though. You think nine goals?
He's
is enough?
Nine clear. Yeah, I've got. I've got an anxious weight ahead of me.
Yeah,
but anyway.
I suppose you have. But yeah, David Oldfield's at the wheel, and
the fella who's in second. Sorry, were you about to do a David Oldfield chant?
I don't know when my throat's up to it, but
is there an official David Oldfield chant?
Yeah, there's one that I've
created. Give me that.
Oh, hang on a second. Because we love him, you see, because he's just so calm, and he's got about 10 strikers on the book, and he was a striker himself, and everyone's behind him. Oldfield's at the wheel. Tell me how good Does it feel? He scored for Man City. He makes us play pretty. Old Fields at the wheel.
Oh, that's good. It doesn't really stick to the old Stone Roses tune like the Ole Gunnar Solskjaer one does, but that's good.
Does it not? No, I mean, I don't know that one. What do they sing about him then?
Well, it used to be Ole's at the wheel. How good does it feel? We've got Sanchez, Lukaku and Fred. Marcus Rashford's a Manc born and bred.
Oh, that explains it.
I didn't want to sing
it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not in the singing contingent anymore. I'm like sort of too old for that. It's only when if I have one too many tinctures, I sort of migrate back in there. But I go on the periphery. I'm not. Yeah, that's just one I came up with.
You invented that song.
Yeah, I just invented that one. But you're right. There is a different version that makes a lot of sense there, where they go on about our fellow Bear wishes a homegrown player and blah blah blah. Right. Yeah, the actual hardcore element have a better one that mirrors that one. Yeah, I've just been getting carried away. I need to learn that. Well, I just need to stay on the periphery and know my place. I'm an old man now.
Yeah, you can't go in with all the kids. You can't. That's ridiculous. It's demeaning.
Half my age. Yeah.
I'll tell you what as well, Steve. We did jokes on the show last week, and I noticed on the comments that one bloke didn't get my aggregate joke. My thing I played a football match in a quarry, and we won 4-3 on aggregate. Of course, aggregate is the material that you quarry from a quarry. But anyway... Yeah. Someone responded to those jokes on the comments, and they came out with a beauty, which I must give it. They said, I went to the video shop the other day and said, can I borrow Batman Forever? And the guy said, well, you can borrow it, but I need it back on Friday.
That's a really good joke, isn't it? That was Frankie Burton. Frankie Burton.
Oh, was it Frankie Burton? Yeah, that was
Frankie Burton. Frankie Burton is one of our biggest fans. He always pops up with something. And
Finally, I've been promising to read out Dave Walmsley's question to you for about 5 weeks, and here it is. Do you prefer the bigger odds and fewer places, or shorter odds and more places? Because if you look now, Steve, you've got one firm does 5 places, another one does 10. So it's an age-old conundrum now, isn't it? Where do you stand on that?
Yeah, you just got to play every case on its merits. You know, some people like the extra places, some people like the better prices. I mean, for me, again, it's my over-optimism that often gets me. You know, I don't mind having quarter of the five, because I very rarely have more than 5 selections, and I just assume I'm going to have first, second, third, fourth. So why would I need any more places? But other people go other way. So yeah, for me, you just got to judge it. You're not going to get 5th to 10 and massive prices.
I'd say what's interesting though with those 10 places, I think it's Boyle's do 10 places. If you take, it's a fifth the odds. So if you take the odds of say a 40 to one shot and divide that by five, that's, you're getting 8 to 1 to finish in the top 10. If you look on any bookmakers, just separate top 10 finish lists, you're never getting 8 to 1 that. So you've almost got that free, you know, if you're going to back someone to be top 10, back them each way is what I'm saying. So.
Yeah. And they just factor in that you're more than likely going to lose your win state, don't you? But I know what you're saying. And I wish we had some hard and fast rules that we could give you, man, there. But there really is.
Yeah, it's just difficult. I think you just got to take your chance. It's a personal choice, really, isn't it?
Do you take
driver and go down the middle with the bigger odds and the fewer places, or do you lay up with the extra places?
I think you've summed that very well. And Frankie Burton, we just must mention him. He's an Altrincham fan. I'm going to have a bit of a problem if I go up to Altrincham, because Altrincham are the ones in our sights now, the most likely team that we can catch in the league. Yeah, Frankie Burton, we love Frankie Burton, but I might go up there and he might be my arch enemy at Altrincham. So that's a bit of a problem. We must mention John Owen from Formby, who sent me a PGA Tour umbrella.
Amazing. Oh, wow, lovely.
Amazing gift.
Oh, yeah, you saw that fella in the street, didn't you, with the umbrella, and went up to him and said, oh, I like your umbrella, and he didn't have any interest in golf, did he?
No, that's it. Yeah, I was full of envy for that umbrella, but John Owen performed me. What a character.
He sent you a PJ umbrella.
Yeah,
brand
new one. I'm so happy with that. I mean, I was really
the
worried
king
about
of the readers, king of the viewers, John Owen.
So worried in the storms last week. I was starting to go out from, no, I can't risk it.
Obviously, did you strip down to your pants outside in the storm?
I didn't. I've had a lot of people asking me about that. And a lot of people thought it was a bit of a strange comment of mine, wasn't it? But the thing is, I didn't make it clear enough last week that when I do have those little delves into naked storm chasing, it was in the privacy of my garden, you see.
Oh, okay.
It was always when the children, when I'm home alone and I see the neighbor's car's not there and there's a storm raging, I know that I'm perfectly safe in the garden. That was when I sort of get my kicks. I don't want to alarm anyone there.
I wouldn't think that happens that often, is it? Home alone is quite unusual. the neighbours are out and there's a storm. I mean, that can't happen too often, can it?
It has happened. Quite a storm. Yeah, we're on the coast here. We do get quite a lot of action like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I still recommend it, but I hope nobody got arrested last week, and I hope nobody got seriously injured. Yeah, it's pretty reckless public service announcement for me, wasn't it? Yeah, with flying debris. You might have got some flying debris in your Chumley Warners. So I hope everyone ignored me last week, apart from the golf tips.
Yes. Okay, excellent. What have we got next week, Steve? Are the European Tour deigned to hosting one?
Do you know what that was?
No.
It was the three tournament klaxon.
What have we got?
We got three tournaments next week. Each way travel alert. We got the return of the DP World Tour, Kenya Open, and two offerings on the PGA Tour: Arnold Palmer Invitational, Puerto Rico Open, Puerto Rico Open, Puerto Rico Open. So you've got to be excited about that.
I'm very excited. Very excited indeed. Okay, Steve, well, listen, good luck this week. As we always say, bet responsibly, bet safely. And, like, I don't want to sound like some boring old fogey, but, you know, if you have won a few quid, don't start ramping the stakes up, please. Please keep doing what you're doing. Keep staking sensibly and enjoy the winnings. Well done, Steve. Fantastic run of form. Let's hope it continues this week. And let's hope you can join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.